States v. Cheney, case number 092069. Mr. Handelsman.
May it please the Court, Robert Handelsman for Appellant Cheney. We are withdrawing argument one in the briefs. Sentencing judge, we are withdrawing argument one in the briefs. It was mentioned in the reply brief, but I'd just like to get it on the record. The sentencing judge is required to, and I quote, state its reasons for rejecting a defendant's principal arguments which have merit. In Villegas Miranda, you vacated a sentence because the sentencing judge there, like the sentencing judge here, I quote, failed to specifically address defendant's principal argument for a lower sentence. The district court here did not state whether it accepted or rejected Cheney's only argument for a lower sentence. The government's brief fails to cite a portion of the transcript where the district court did so. Despite what the government writes in its brief, we are not arguing that the district court gave insufficient reasons for its sentence, or it must go through each of the 3553A factors. What we are contending here is that when a defendant makes a non-frivolous argument for a lower sentence, the sentencing judge must state how that argument plays a role in the determination of the sentence. That is, state that the argument is accepted and a lower sentence is imposed because of it, or state why the argument is rejected. It is not enough for the district court, as it did here, and just as it did in the Miranda case, to refer to the defendant's arguments and then say the 3553A factors were considered. The district court said it considered Cheney's argument, but did not state how it was considered. We cannot determine from this record whether the district court would have imposed a stiffer sentence if Cheney's only argument was not made, or conversely, believe that Cheney's argument should play no role in the determination of the sentence.
And the argument you're referring to is the one about his cooperation?
Yes. I mean, your cases have said that that is a basis for a lower sentence. The government does not dispute that it's a non-frivolous reason for a lower sentence. And we can't tell from this record what the judge did with that argument.
The judge specifically talked about it and said that, you know, he was cooperative in some areas, but then he continued to commit fraud after...
That was part of the problem. He, according to government, he had participated in a fraudulent act after he was approached by the agents. But the point that we're making here, the judge referred to it, but he didn't state how he was considered.
Well, he's obviously resting the sentence that he gave on that ground, or resting his rejection of the cooperation argument on that ground. He said the defendant continued to get involved in at least two fraudulent activities even after he was indicted. So that's the basis for rejecting it.
No, we don't know if he rejected. We don't know.
Why can't we take that as a rejection?
I don't see it as a rejection. He doesn't say, he didn't say either way. What he said, he articulated the defendant's arguments and then imposed the sentence.
Well, how about this part? The defendant argues that his cooperation is a mitigating factor in this case, and a sentence below the advisory guidelines range would be sufficient to serve the purposes of sentencing. I'm still quoting from the district court's remarks. However, the defendant concedes that he, in fact, did a couple of things subsequently, and even though his cooperation was truthful, he should not have gotten involved in a couple of areas that he got involved in, and then the defendant continued to get involved in at least two fraudulent activities even after he was indicted. That's pretty explicit.
No, it's not, because we don't know if he would have imposed a if the argument made resulted in the 84-month sentence which was imposed, because he didn't come out and say that I don't, because you did this, that, and the other thing, I don't think your argument should affect the sentence. Nor did he say, well, there's some mitigating circumstance here. If it wasn't for this, I would have given a slightly stiffer sentence. That's the point that your decisions in Villegas and Miranda require. This judge did the exact same thing that he did in the Miranda case where his sentence was vacated. He referred to the – all he did was mention the arguments. He mentioned the arguments, said, I considered the 3553A factors, and imposed the sentence. He's doing the same thing here he did in Miranda.
What should he have said?
Pardon me?
What would you have wanted to hear one way or the other?
Just what I mentioned.
Well, no, you...
Okay. All right. I'll be a little bit more specific. So defendant contends that he offered some cooperation with the government. This is a recognized grounds for imposing a lower sentence, and I'm considering it, and I'm giving a sentence of this amount instead of that amount. Government asked for a middle of the range sentence, and as we pointed out in the brief, this is kind of low end or the middle of the guideline range. We don't know exactly what he did. When a defendant makes an argument for a lower sentence, judges traditionally say, because this argument is made, we're going to do this, that, and the other thing, or conversely, I don't think it's a basis for a lower sentence. I just had a case a month ago where the low-end guideline range was 46 months. Judge imposed a sentence of 15 months. Obviously, in that kind of circumstance, you know, the judge accepted the arguments. Here, we don't...
Did he give a lot of reasons why he did that?
Pardon me?
Did he give a lot of reasons why the government didn't appeal it?
Well, not yet. But, no, 10 days have run. But... In this case, we had nothing like that.
Well, you had the 5K1 that's gone, right?
That was the first argument.
I'm not arguing that anymore.
Yeah, so I'm not. I'm withdrawing.
But that was part of the picture, before and after.
Not quite, because the judge can.
Not going to do the 5K1 because this guy went and did some things subsequent.
That's true, but he also cooperated to a great extent with the government. This isn't the place here to argue whether that cooperation should have required a certain sentence. That's for the district court. My point here is that it's not enough just to refer to the arguments and then say the 3553A factors were considered.
More than that, though. He referred to the arguments and spoke in terms that could reasonably be read as an explicit rejection of the argument. In other words, the cooperation is worth nothing because he kept on defrauding people even after he was indicted.
I disagree. I think he was just recapitulating the party's arguments and really didn't come out and say what he did with that argument. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Nolan.
May it please the court, counsel. The sentence imposed by the district court in this case should be affirmed because the court considered the party's arguments both in written and oral form, and it reasonably exercised its discretion in making particularized findings and sentencing the defendant to 84 months. The court rejected the defendant's argument and accepted the government's position, which was specifically asking for an 84-month sentence or in the midpoint of the guidelines range, when the court imposed the sentence that the government requested based on the cooperation. It did what it was required to do under the precedent in this circuit. There are no questions, but just ask that the sentence be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Handelton, anything further? All right. And you were appointed. The court thanks you for your service to your client and the court. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will stand in recess.